All right. Do you want me to kind of start it off then, Jana?
Yeah. If you want to just kind of set it up for everybody, then we'll keep it rolling.
Sure. So today's call is basically going to be centered on resales and how to deal with them. And the question came up on what's really FranNet's role when something like this pops up and how do you move through the process. So we have Mike and Jack with us to give you some real-life experience as well as Jana to kind of help with answering those questions and making sure you guys have a clear picture of not only where to find them but how to manage them moving forward. So basically, if you have any questions about it that you've been thinking of lately, feel free to reach out. I'm not going to mute the line, so feel free to either use the chat or just go ahead and call it out, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. Yes, and without a doubt, this topic comes up at least once every other week. Somebody will call and ask about it. So Mike Hall, Jack Armstrong, you guys have dealt with resales as business brokers as well as FranNet. So, Mike, I'll get you to lead it out. What do you think the biggest misconception is from FranNetters about resales?
Well, I think the way that franchisors are handling them now, they're much easier than they think you are, than you think they are. I think the thing I see a lot is that we often forget that resales might be available in an area where we don't have any availability. I am absolutely guilty of that. We do have, I think, a Zor portal now that where our franchisors list resales, and it's a valuable tool, but they don't. Keep up with the resales that they have. And, I think it should be part of everybody's standard operating procedure that if they've got clients that they are talking to and they think that they are out of inventory in a particular place, and I am a great deal here in the Carolinas, I always call the franchisors that I think would be a good fit and say, hey, tell me about the resales either you have available now that I don't know about or maybe that you have coming up. And if the franchisor is then handling that resale, you treat it as just one of the franchisors that you are presenting and let the franchisor handle it.
Okay, that's great. Jack, from the standpoint of, Mike just said something, let the franchisor handle it. Can you explain to the group kind of what your role is and what your role is not when you're dealing with a franchise resale?
Okay, as Mike said, the Zor portal has been a big help. It does need to be updated a lot more frequently. That would be great because I, like Mike does, I check that first when I see a client coming in, what's available, what's not. A lot of franchisors will bring it to our attention, too, when they have someone who wants to sell. Right now, we have three possible resales, a Goddard, a Signs by Tomorrow, and a Speed Pro, all have offers made. Two of the offers have been accepted. The third one is back and forth still with negotiations. So I think that it's progressing there. We actually have a fourth one, Mako. So they're all progressing. To be a business broker, and I think it's in 39 states, you do need to have a real estate license to be able to go out and sign a listing agreement, which is what we do not do at FranNet. What we do is just our traditional referrals and send it the whole, like we normally do through FranConnect, the registration, but we'll tell them on the bottom of my notes, this person's interested in the resale in Bergen County or Red Bank, wherever it is. Please note that this is their primary interest, not a new one. And whatever information you have on this, I would really appreciate if you could share it with him. Like the Goddard School does not release any sales or numbers. Some do. Some give us the gross sales. Some give us the P&L. But most don't, and they have to get that from the franchisor. And I just say I'm hired by the franchisor to help them with new and resales. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details of this resale, but it's close to you. It's a profitable one, and it's worth a look. and I just want them to start engaging with that franchise salesperson. But I'm not going to get into taking a listing agreement or anything like that with it. Just let the franchisor handle it. It's a lot less work if they handle everything.
Okay. Jack, just a step further, because and I think this is where people really get tripped up. I'll get people that will be calling me and saying, or will call Karen and say, well, I need that, I need those tax returns, or I need this or that for my client. That's not a role we step into, correct?
No, we've never done that, and the resales we do through FranNet. That is all handled by the franchisor, and if they are introducing them to the seller, and they need help, we then turn it into a lot faster in the process, getting them a CPA or attorney, whatever they happen to need for due diligence at that point. We might introduce the financing a lot quicker, too, because you might want to get that business qualified. So they're going to need tax returns, but generally 90% of the time the seller is providing them to the potential buyer after a letter of intent is signed with a lot of contingencies on it, but that's the process the franchisor is handling. We're not. But the tax returns are needed, but we're not providing them. You don't even want to get involved with that.
I would just add to that for a second, Jana, that very often the franchisor will give you some basic information about it. So, for example, we have a Comfort Care here in South Charlotte that's for sale, and I've got a couple of clients looking at it. And I know what the revenue is, I know what the cash flow is, and I know what the selling price is. And I don't have an issue sharing that with a client, and this client's looking at several different franchises, including this. And I will share that information simply because it's published information. They're going to learn it anyway very quickly. And but boy, I agree with Jack 100%. From a FranNet standpoint, stay away from getting involved in the tax returns, because then you're begging to get more questions than a lot of times you can answer.
Okay, thanks. And one of the things I know, Jack and Mike, at one time we talked at FranNet about maybe getting into the business brokerage side at FranNet, and we found all kinds of reasons why we did not want to do that. Would each of you kind of share what the nightmares of would be of us stepping into that role versus handling it the way we do now?
Jack, if you want me to go first, I got a great story on that.
All right, go ahead. I got one too. Go ahead.
So today, on May 30th, which, by the way, I was also reminded was my wife's birthday, but not until she told me, but that's another disaster over here. So we have a home watch senior care business that is closing tomorrow. I have, believe it or not, a dog training business separate from FranNet that is closing tomorrow. And I have another franchise listing that should be closing on June 15th. This morning between 8 and 9 o'clock, I got three emails. The first one about the home watch senior care said the bank was not aware that it was going to be closed tomorrow, and there's no way that they can do it for another week. Now the buyer who's moving here from out of town is in town ready to close. So that was about 8 o'clock this morning. I then got a list of demands from the buyer for the business in Raleigh, completely unreasonable in what he wants to add to the asset purchase agreement, and we're getting ready to walk away from that deal. And the other one, the buyers decided that they all of a sudden wanted to ask for $50,000 of seller financing the day before closing. They want to make that change on the asset purchase agreement, and they want some rebates on a few things, all of which is to say business brokerage is you get surprised a lot. And Jack, I know you've been as well, but there are surprises right around the corner every time, and you almost have to have the temperament to work with them, because if you are selling a resale that a business, that a franchise has, and the franchisor is handling that deal, you don't see all of this stuff. But when you're the broker, you see it, you're involved in it, and it takes a lot of time to resolve.
Yeah, and also as a broker, you're going to find that in franchising, if it breaks down the deal, it's generally because the attorney is asking something unreasonable. In a business broker deal, most of them crash and burn because of the financial due diligence. So many small business owners are running everything through but the kitchen sink. And first-time buyers cannot get comfortable with those numbers. And the deals will crater. You can have the agreement ready to go. And the more they dig, they say, how do I know it's personal? How do I know you got that cash off the books? It gets into a real headache, and you get potential liability. You know, so you want to be careful about that because it's just not our expertise. We don't want to get involved with that. It's a million nightmares. You have to get the two attorneys to agree, the two accountants to agree, the bank to agree, and the buyer and seller to agree. It's just a tremendous amount of phone time, and the deal can collapse a lot easier than it does with any Fran-Net deal.
Yeah. I've told somebody this before, but if you go back and you look at the amount of hours that you have invested in a Fran-Net deal when you're closing a whatever franchise it is, and if you sit back and really look at it from the time you meet with your client until the time the deal closes, what do you have, 5 hours in it? Maybe four? And you're making $25,000. That's a $5,000 an hour rate. If this is a brokered deal, you might have 30 hours in it. You might have 50 hours in it. And sometimes I swear to you, I think I've made minimum wage on a couple of deals. You can get surprised.
Okay. And I guess one of the things that, you know, everybody gets kind of stars in their eyes about how much money they should make on a resale, and that is true if you're the true business broker. Mm-hmm. Is there, how much more complicated is it for our people to do a resale deal than a new deal if they're doing it through the Fran-Net system and the way you guys have been talking about? Is it harder? Is it the same? Is it?
It's not that much more work. It's about the same. What you're going to find, it takes longer because you have to go through all the processes. I have a person in training next week for the Goddard, and, you know, he started this whole process with negotiating back in December. It just takes a lot longer just to get everything lined up. The banks are a lot more careful with it. The attorneys think they can renegotiate the asset purchase agreement five different ways. The accountants are digging all the time more and more. There's always another question. So it just takes a lot longer. But from our point of view, it's the same amount of work. You know, you're putting a referral in, you're touching base with them. You might have more time involved, I'm saying, because you're touching base with them for a longer period of time. Instead of maybe 90 days, it might be 6 months.
Okay, but as far as the actual hours you put into it, it's not going to be any greater necessarily.
No, it's only because the deal is lasting longer. You get more
questions.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. Just for some of our newer people on the phone, which candidate do you really watch for resale opportunities for? Is there one over the other that you think really jumps on these resales?
Well,
generally they're asking us.
I agree.
Okay. They're being very proactive. I'm only interested in resale. I only want to look at this. I only want that. They're being much more proactive and telling us what they want. And they feel that, you know, they tell everyone in the seminars, if you want to buy a resale, you're going to pay a lot more money, but you have cash flow quicker. If you want to buy a straight brand new franchise, it'd be a lot less money, but you have to wait 9 months to a year for your cash to come out.
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, one of the reasons I started Empire Business Brokers is because I had so many people coming to me saying, well, I'm only interested in resales. And I thought, you know, I think that they would be great candidates for a franchise if they knew what was going on and what the potential was. And actually, I use Empire Business Brokers and Fran-Net to feed off of each other. And you may get clients coming in that say they really only want a resale, but because they think they're buying themselves a job. And I bet every one of us have a lot of clients every year that say, yeah, I'm really looking at resales. I thought about a franchise, but maybe, you know, let me look at resales first. But if I've got, if I can bring them in like that, I can often convert them over to a franchise. There's a marketing opportunity here.
Okay. Karen has jumped on the call or has been on the call. Karen, what's one of the, what, some of the please do nots that, that you would share with the group?
Well, recently I've been getting a lot of emails and calls about franchisees in their area, and they're saying, will you please help me find a buyer? Will you help me, you know, sell my business? And I don't know if you've already covered this earlier since I chimed in a little late, but please don't do that. that's a big thing. Please don't do that.
Yeah, and that falls right into what Jack and Mike have been talking about, because now you're a business broker. So if these resale opportunities do not come through the franchise company, we shouldn't be touching them. Right, guys?
Well, what you do generally, what we generally do here, if it's in our inventory, the first thing we do is you have to let the franchisor know, they have to approve this. If
right.
you list it with them, it's going to save you some money. You're going to pay me a lot more in a commission if I take it as a business broker. So I would just list it with them and direct it back towards the franchisor.
Okay. So, but if one of my people that's on the phone is not a business broker, that's their only option is to direct them back to the franchisor where we could possibly work with them, correct?
That's correct. Generally, they're asking about help with selling, they're not doing well. They're struggling.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be a lot tougher to sell something that's struggling than something that's doing great.
But I would also say, too, that there are franchisors that do not handle resales. Now, I'm seeing a growing number that do. But there are franchisors that simply don't handle resales. In that case, you can't be an ad hoc business broker.
Right.
But I think it's important to, if it happens to be a good business, I think it's important to establish relationships with several business brokers in your area and work out a co-op broker agreement where you can get paid 30 or 40% of the deal instead of, you know, getting nothing for it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I hope that helps a few people because, again, that is one of the questions. Karen, they were talking about the Zor portal. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about the Zor portal and why sometimes that might not be updated?
The way it is structured now is the franchisors, if they have resale opportunities, they will put those in. You are talking about the resales, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So they put those in there, and then every 30 days they are supposed to be updating them. They get email reminders to either delete them or, you know, they can update any information they may have. Getting them to actually put in their resales is a little bit of a difficulty as well as updating them. The Zor portal is so new, I think it's going to be one of those things that the more we drum it in their heads, the more that they're going to understand that it's a tool that's going to be very useful. The way it should work is when they put in a resale, it will be directed to your inbox if it is a zip code that's in your territory or
right.
in your state, I believe is how it goes. So, you know, it's you can do searches through there. But again, how it's maintained, that's going to be a learning curve for the franchisors.
Well, and I think one of the things, and Jack, you and I, and I know Mike, we've all talked about this, I think it's the same thing with available territory. You know, it can change from this morning to this afternoon, and trying to keep them aware that we want that information updated and just trying to stay on top of it, I think, is the challenge. So never assume everything in the Zor portal is correct. If you're getting ready to show one of those concepts, please take the time to reach out to your franchisor to just validate that everything you're seeing in front of you is current. I would think that something, isn't that one of our steps anyway, guys?
You should do that whether it's new or whether it's a resale.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, because sometimes we have people say, well, you know, it said this on the Zor portal or it said this on the two-minute drill. Well, things change. And, you know, with now especially, we've got 150 brands. And trying to keep that current at all times is a challenge.
The other things, too, Jana, is I just found this out where it looks like it's on the portal and it is technically listed for sale, but there might be a letter of intent out on it. And they're not taking it down until it becomes more final. So you might think it's up there for sale, but it's really not if there's a letter of intent on it.
Well, I think one of the things we found out with, our friends at Supercuts and some of those other things, there can also be five other people looking at it currently. And if one of their clients pulls the trigger before yours, what you thought was an open territory is suddenly not available.
Correct.
So this is all part of the business we're in. And I think what we've all talked about is the more, this is some of the pain caused by having more competition in the field as well, because we're all grabbing at the same inventory in the same territories a lot of times. So other questions or comments that you guys think should be addressed for our people out here looking at resales as a hot opportunity?
I just want to underscore the need to contact the franchisor, because this is Michael Rosen, but because I've done one resale deal and I've got two others that clients are looking at. And the only way I found out about them was by communicating with the franchisor. None of them were listed in the portal.
Thank you, Michael. That's exactly why we tell you all, before you show, call the franchisor. You know, you've got a client coming in, you're looking at 6 to 8 in your long list or 8 to 10, you know, the way you cut that down is you make sure they've got availability, everything's current that as you see it, and, you know, you're ready with all that information when you get face-to-face with your client. Jack, Mike, did I miss anything?
No, I think you got it covered there.
Yeah, so far so good.
All right. Anyone else have questions or comments?
Hi, it's Leslie. I have a question, please. Can you
sure.
hear me okay?
Yeah.
Will you just, I think I understand this clearly, but if you could refresh me, what do our contracts say with franchisors with regards to resales when we are not presenting the resale? You know, let's say the client, they're doing their validation, and maybe the franchisor doesn't even know there's a resale, or they do, but our buyer coming across the resale is not because we presented it to them. What does our contract say about that with regards to our fee?
Karen, you want to tackle that one?
What happens is they should pay us a fee. There have been a few issues in the past where they've received absolutely nothing for a transfer or anything like that. But when it's a new lead and they come across it, let's say, through validation or anything like that, they owe us a fee.
And that's where we get into that. This is where there's some gray area that people, you know, this is where we get on the phone. If it's a new client registered with, you know, Martinizing, and they're doing validation, and one of the Martinizing franchisees says, hey, buy mine, Martinizing owes us the fee as if it was a, you know, a brand new
right.
sale with no
right.
resale. However, right. if it's a client you have previously placed with Martinizing, who reaches out to his neighbor who is struggling or failing, and they buy that territory, and there was no money going to Martinizing, they don't owe us a dime. They only owe us in those situations if, in fact, there was a new license fee paid or a transfer fee paid that we could get a percentage of. But if it is a, hey, we let them transfer because this one was going out, and we think this is good for the company and good for your previous client, then we don't get anything. We only get money if there's money exchanged in those subsequent sales that happen to be a resale. Does that make sense,
right.
Leslie?
Yes, and I'm really asking about the former
right.
situation.
Right.
They're not
yeah.
yet a franchisee. They are, going through the process. You know, there's a resale. Nobody knew about it, or maybe the franchisor did, but we didn't. But we did not present it as one of the options. The franchisor owes us our same fee as if it were a new sale. Am I hearing that correct? I'm not sure that's correct.
I think that's correct unless it's in the contract. There are certain contracts that the resales have a lesser fee.
There's some old ones. Yeah.
Well, we've tried to get that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Now I was not aware that we were owed a commission on that because I've had this happen twice or three times. If we did not show somebody 1 hour Martinizing, we showed them five other businesses and on their own, they found a resale for 1 hour Martinizing. It's in our inventory. That's a pretty gray area.
That's a whole different story.
I thought that's what Leslie was asking.
No.
This is if you showed 1 hour Martinizing.
Absolutely, we get paid. Yeah, and our contracts have all been updated for that, haven't they?
Right, yeah. But some have lesser fees in them still. That's all I'm saying.
Yes,
they absolutely do. By the way, I've got a TCA cleaning authority resale that is handled by TCA, and they pay $15,000 on a resale. There are a lot of others that'll pay the full fee.
Yeah, the 15 versus the 40. The big difference. We have a couple of resales.
It's a big difference.
huge.
Yeah, this is something that I can tell you has actually cost us some franchisors because, I mean, it's something we dig our heels in. And we explain to them, this is a client, you all have referred to them in good faith, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not right for our lead to get burned as it might be and for us because if they didn't buy this with you, they could have bought something else and we got paid a full fee.
I'll share something. I had a conversation with Meg Roberts and Molly Maids about this issue. You know, we were talking about how their fee to us for resales does not equal what a new placement fee is. And she said, you know what? We actually, as a franchisor, make more money on a resale. Because if we get a new franchisee in who's the right fit, they're aggressive, we're going to make more on royalties. So your fee should be equal. That's exactly what she said.
Okay, well, let me share with you the rest of that story. They are now owned by the Dwyer Group. And Karen has spent – how many hours, Karen, have you been on the phone and arguing with these attorneys trying to get that in our language?
Yeah. I want to say – I mean, I've been talking to them for 2 years, actually, trying to get all of their brands with us, and we are at a stalemate. And probably once a month now, we toss it back and forth again. They want to work with us. We want to work with them, but it's a nightmare.
We're trying to get these contracts, the old Molly Maid and Mr. Handyman, up to our current contracts. And what they're wanting to do is bring in all of their old brands under the old, outdated contracts that are not in our favor. And, you know, that's where the stalemate's coming in. So we either, you know, kill the two we do have or we let them ride like they are. But we're trying to, like I said, you know, Karen's been trying to get those two updated as well as bring the new ones in under the new contract. And that's where the stalemate has come in. So it's not a fun group to try to negotiate with. And I think that'd be Rourke. Is that right, Jack?
I thought Riverside bought.
Riverside. I'm sorry. Not Rourke. Riverside. Yeah, that owns them. But they're not budging. And I would hate to think how many dollars we've spent in time and attorney fees in trying to get this figured out.
And the point, though, which I thought was an interesting point, is that the franchisor wins, the seller wins at our expense on these resales many times.
Say that again, Leslie.
Well, the franchisor gets a new franchisee. The selling franchisee gets out at our expense with a much lesser fee many times, which has just never made any sense to me.
Right, because
there's not that many that it's still... planted that way, Leslie. We've been updating these, you know, as they come up, and everybody new is coming in that way.
Okay, and that's great.
Well, so the logic is they don't want to pay any more than the transfer fee.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. That's what the logic was anyway.
Right, and the logic has always been that they have a lot more cost involved in it because they're handling everything, and yet
right.
Leslie brings up a point where that might not be the case.
Yep. Well, and that's why what we try to tell them is our lead was a solid lead that you could have sold a new one to, and we should get paid as if you sold them a new one.
Right.
And that's the, I mean, that's the line in the sand Karen draws with these people when she's negotiating with them.
How much is the resale a point that is a sticking point or an issue point in final deals with franchisors to bring them into inventory? Is it all the time? Is it rare? I mean, I don't have a sense of how much of the conversation the resales are a part.
For the initial first lead, you know, they come across, you know, during validation, and you know that is not a sticking point. It's the subsequent. They will fight you tooth and nail on that.
Yep. For even subsequent units, not just resale units.
Oh yeah. That whole item.
Anything
like
subsequent.
They would like to X that out.
Well, and, you know, take the side of a franchisor, but I do always try to at least look at the whole picture. As a previous franchisor, I remember telling Joe Lamble there was no way I would ever agree to that. And the reason was because by the time they bought the second, third, or fourth, I'm the one that's been babysitting them, and I'm the one that's been nurturing them and training them and getting them to the point they felt like they could buy a second, third, or fourth. Now, I know the Franet side is, and I argue this now, is that, yes, but we brought you such a great candidate, they can expand. But that is a touchy one out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Other comments, questions? Wow. Well, I didn't think it would be an hour, but we did go over 30 minutes, so if there's no other questions, guys, anything else, any closing comments you would make?
No, I think everything's good. If they can update the Zora portal more, that would be great, but I know you have a problem with that, so that's great.
Yeah.
Mike?
That makes sense. Yeah, but just make it a part of your standard MO to think about resales when you're presenting franchisors, or if you don't have a franchisor that has availability, and for goodness sakes, make it a point to check out the resale.
Yeah, because sometimes they not be, I love that, Mike, they may not be listed on our site, but
right.
They may in fact have some and just haven't made us aware, so.
Right, or have one coming up. I had four franchisors come up to me in Tampa and tell me about four resales that were coming up in the Carolinas, which I would not have known about, and a couple of them weren't on the portal. So.
Thank you. All right.
Thank
you both for taking the time out of your day to share this information with us. Megan, I'll turn it back over to you, and you can cut the recording and put it in the archives for future references.
Yep,
all right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.